Put your hands together. We're gonna praise the Lord together in this house and have a great time lifting up the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, tell someone, get ready to praise. And let's do it.
Renewed, restored, revive your church and make us whole. Ignite, transform. Take us to a place we've never seen before.
You've done the impossible. Seen the mountains move before. Your word is unstoppable. And with expectation we declare the mountains stand before.
Something big today, I want you to go ahead and raise a hand and just begin to say, God, I'm ready for you to break strongholds and set people free in this house today.
Something great for you, I dare you right now to just begin to publicly thank him for doing something great for you all over this building, would you? Come on, don't be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of what God's done for me. Are you? If you're not ashamed, go ahead and give him praise. Clap, raise your hands, shout, do something. But thank God, I'm not ashamed of what God has done for me. Hallelujah. Thank God. Come on, sing it again. Come on, begin to praise God today. Because if he's done it before, he can do it again. Come on, sing it. Begin to thank God for something mighty. This is somebody's miracle day. This is somebody's breakthrough day. This is somebody's healing day. Come on, sing it.
Great stuff is we know that you are really God. We see that you are able.
Heavenly Father, we invite you here today to do exactly that. God, I believe all over this campus and all of these rooms and all of these buildings, God, and this one is not exempt from that. You're about to do some great things on your day. We're going to start this week in victory. Somebody's going to start this week in healing. Somebody's going to start this week in forgiveness of their sins. And a brand new life begins today. We give you thanks for that in advance in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, is that your original hair color? And then you can be seated if you'd like. It's not bad. It's not bad. Come on over here. Come on over here. Well, welcome to Charleston Church. We're so glad that you're here. Let's welcome all of our guests and visitors. Let them know we're glad that they're in church today. What a great day to be in God's house. And if you're visiting, this is not something we do every Sunday, but we try to do it every month if we can. It's Water Baptism Sunday. And there are people that have come into this church whom God has come into their lives. They invited him. And he began to do a great work in their lives. And the Bible says that our faith is a public one. That when he does something in our lives, we should be bold to tell everybody that we know, I'm not ashamed of what God has done for me. I'm glad that what God did for us on the cross was public, and I want what he's done in my life to be public as well. How about you? There are people beside you that need God to work in their lives, and what God's doing in you, he can do in them. And this is why we celebrate this here today. And before I go any further, I want to welcome all of our incoming freshmen at Faith Bible College International that are here today. To my right, you'll see and hear a little bit more about them. 30 students coming to us from all over the world, and you're going to get to meet them tonight. I tell you, God's doing something powerful right here in Charleston, right here in this great city. They say that in Atkinson. Let's go down to the city, and let's see the city folks down there. And I'm so proud of Emily. Wave to everybody, Emily. Can they see you on there? There you are. Emily is such a sweet girl and has a great testimony. And if you don't know it, maybe you've already heard, but quite a little preacher in her own rank. And we're so proud of her. Emily, you want to tell the folks what Christ means to you today?
It means a lot. Like, I wouldn't be here right now if it weren't for him. Because it just started coming into me. When I really realized what it meant to me, I knew that this is here, this is now, and this is what I need to do.
Amen. Come on.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. Come on, Emma.
11 years old. How many know that's the right time to start serving the Lord?
That's it.
Right there. So proud of Emily. Mom and Dad, I think, are on the platform. Where?
Right here.
Right over here? Mom and Dad, wave to the people. I can't see you. You got some great parents, don't you? Yeah. Emily, because of your relationship with Christ, and you've allowed him to come into your life, you've allowed him to do something real, and you want everybody to know it, I now baptize you in Jesus' name.
Yeah, come on!
Yeah. Everybody say hello, Matt.
Amen.
Now everybody say hello to Matt. This is Matt Sawyer, and he's a Corinthian. He had a whole book written to his town. Hey, tell the people what God's done for you, bud.
Well, he's done a lot. He gives just a lot of joy and happiness in my life. I was never really lacking that joy or happiness, but ever since I've come to Christ, it's gone. There's been a lot more, I guess you could say. I wasn't brought up in church, but I always believed. And a funny thing is, at night, I would close my eyes and I would pray to God, and then I would open my eyes and I would close them again, and then I would pray to Jesus. So I was just doing extra effort. but then I was invited. I was invited to Soul Fire my freshman year, and that really moved me. And then I started coming to church not too long after that, and I thank Darcy for bringing me to church until I got my license. And then after that, I've just been coming steadily, and it's been, I think, 3 years since I've started coming to church.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
It's awesome, man. Mom and Dad down here today. I know you're so proud of your boy. What a young man that you've raised. So grateful for him. All right, Matt.
Right over here, bud.
Matt, because of your faith in Christ, and you've come into the reality of a relationship with Him, and you want everybody to know that it's not just a routine, but this is something that's blessing you, changing your life. I now baptize you in Jesus' name. Hey, I want you to meet I want you to meet Judy Niles, and she's part of the left side over here, the left front corner, and she's got a tribe with her today. We're so grateful for what God is doing in your life. Every week, you're just getting stronger and stronger in your faith. What does this mean today, your faith, your relationship with Christ?
Oh, it's been a long road. It means a lot, but thankfully, Angel and Greg Daigle invited me to come here because my life has changed tremendously since I've been here. Prior to coming here, I was a mess. I was prescribed narcotic medication, which I got addicted to. Not proud of that, but clear of it now for over a year.
That's awesome. Praise God.
And I also smoked cigarettes for 30-something years, and I've been free of that for almost 2 years. So,
that's awesome.
God is doing great things.
Wow, that's incredible.
I expect Him to do more too.
Yeah, He's not done yet, is He?
He's got a long ways to go.
But you come a long way. What's the next thing? What's the next great thing you want God to do for you? Have you thought of that?
Yeah, I have. I want God to bring everyone that I love here as well, and be able to experience what I have.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Well, Lord, we pray for everybody that Judy's connected to.
Yes.
Lord, this is too good to keep to ourselves. We pray everybody she comes into contact with gets infected with the faith that you've given to her in Jesus' name. Do you agree with that?
Amen.
Believe that God will do that? That's awesome. All right, Judy. This really is a miracle, isn't it? I mean, God does miracles, but lives are some of the greatest testimonies. You got a great testimony. And God's going to use that testimony. Don't be ashamed when you reach people. Tell them, this is where God found me, and this is where I'm at. I'm not there anymore.
Right?
Judy, because you've allowed Christ to come and wash away the old life and has given you a substance for hope, a faith that is strong, and you want everybody to know that you're a daughter of God, I now baptize you. All right, Craig. Whoa.
I survived.
Welcome to the tank. You all right?
Yeah. I'm
fine. I got you. I was right there to watch you.
Sorry.
Was there anything I could say to help you? No, I'm just teasing. I got you. You all right?
I'm
feel good.
Yes, sir.
I want you to meet Craig. He's going all in. Thank God for what God. Man, what's this mean to you? What does Christ mean in your life?
It means everything. It's I used to think that I was the one in control, and boy, he's sure thrown a lot of curves at me to show me I sure wasn't.
Wow.
And yeah, I see that. Yeah, I see that.
And here I am. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I can give it to Jesus, and he's got it. And I don't have any worries. Everything I used to stress over is gone.
Yeah.
And quadruple bypass later, I'm all better. I'm working on getting everything back together. And I'm just grateful to be here. And I've been trying to do this for a couple of years now, and I'm finally here.
Yeah.
Craig was an over-the-road truck driver, and that would take him out of the state. And
I was up in Canada. I was all over the West Coast.
And he really prayed, God, give me a job so I can be home. And he got a job at home with better money, in church, with the family. And we're so grateful for when you give your life to Christ, God won't give you less back. He'll give you more. He was out on a bowling date. Was it a bowling date? We went bowling with this young lady down front. And you got a strike. Got right down the right lane, spared no amount of effort, and she had you pinned. You don't know all, you don't know, I'm just beginning. But you don't stop, my wife says, you have no idea though, and we're not going to glorify what the enemy's tried to do to destroy you, but you have no concept. I didn't know until I got your testimony in the other day, all that you've been through. I mean, I'm amazed. I mean, it's a miracle that you're serving Christ today.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
through him, all things are possible. I'm right here.
I stand corrected. All right. Thank God for that. He's not lying. He's telling the truth.
All right, Craig.
All right.
The devil himself literally did everything he could to destroy your life. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And you want everybody to know that you're a soldier for Christ now. And you're going on with him, serving him with everything you've got. I now baptize you.
Yeah.
Come on down, Robert. Hey, Holly. Now take it slow. I'm awful nervous now all of a sudden. All right. I'll catch you. They've got treads on the women's side, but not on the men's side. I don't know what that's all about, but Mom, you see Mommy and Daddy up here? You want to wave to them? Oh, that's sweet. That is so sweet. Come on up here, buddy. She sees them. That's awesome. Aren't you so proud that your kids get to see you here doing this today? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? I couldn't be more proud of you guys. I just am so grateful. What's going on? What's God doing for you guys?
I don't even know where to begin. I've been in and out of Charleston for many, many years. What kind of led me back is my parents were killed in a car accident about 5 years ago, and 2 weeks before they got into the car accident, they come to Charleston and they got saved. And we bounced around to churches a lot, and as soon as we walked through the doors here, we just knew that we were home. And last winter, we struggled so bad financially, and it come to this point where, you know, I was talking about leaving and all of these things, and, you know, it was just, we were in the midst of an argument, actually, and I said to her, you know what, like, we're going to go to Charleston, we're going to place God at the head of our family, and we're going to figure out what that means. And we did that. And me being the controlling person I was, like God has come in and just totally reconstructed our family. And not long after that, we ended up losing like all of our taxes, like everything we were depending on for bills and whatnot. And the morning that I found that out, I just threw my hands up in the air and I was like, God, you got to do something here, you know. And I told Holly and I was like, it's okay, like God's got this, you know. And
it's good.
Ever since then, I've just tried to remain open to the fact that I'm not running the show. And he does a way better job than I do, that's for sure.
That's awesome. Holly, what's this mean to you? What was serving Christ and how has he changed your life mean?
I don't even know where to start. He's changed my life in so many ways. Like, he's brought me like a godly man into my life. We get to raise our children together to serve the Lord. I mean, we have so many children down there, literally half a dozen. And they all love Jesus just as much as we do.
Wow.
And we get that opportunity to like instill in them, like, through God, all things are possible.
Their lives right now, in comparison to your lives back then when they were their age, not even the same galaxy. I mean, your lives are so much different than their lives.
At my son's age, my son's 15, he's sitting in the crowd. At his age, I was already into my opiate addiction, you know, and I spent many, many years with a needle hanging out of my arm, and I'm just so glad that he's here and he's embracing God and he doesn't have to do that.
Jesus Christ is a cycle breaker. I'm going to tell you that one more time in case you wonder if there's any question. Jesus Christ is the cycle breaker. And he's broken the cycle off of your lives, not for a while. He's broken the cycle off of your lives for generations until Jesus Christ comes. Let's give God the greatest praise so far this morning. Thank God for it. Bob, I'm going to start with you. Holly, if you want to stand right over here. All right. Praise God. Robert. Because you gave your life to Christ at the right time. You know, I do remember. I remember that altar call when your mom and dad came. Nobody had any idea that literally days later there'd be an eternity. That tells you the power of a decision. And I tell you, there's power in the decision that you made to serve Christ. There's a power in the decision that you're making today. And there's power in the decisions that you make in the future. Just keep doing it. And God will demonstrate his power through you in a powerful way. Because you want everybody to know that you've been washed clean. You're a new person. The old is gone. And the new has come. I now baptize you. Yeah. All right. All right. Yay! Holly, you've transferred from a life of pain and hurt, and now you're living a life full of healing and blessing. And you want everybody to know that you're a daughter of Christ. I now baptize you. Amen. Give her a big hug, bud. She wants one. I know. Praise God. Isn't this awesome? I could do this all day long. Tim and Amanda, we got one more couple that we want to celebrate with today. All right. Come on over here. A handsome-looking couple right here. They look like they just stepped right out of a magazine. You got family here?
Yes.
I should. We're up.
I think they're up.
Oh yeah, they got the cheap seats. I'm sorry, you couldn't afford better. But you keep saving up. You'll move eventually. We'll upgrade you. I'm just teasing you. This is a great family. We love these guys. And Tim and Amanda. I'm just blessed as well as everybody else, but blessed by what God is doing in you. Every week is just there's a elevation going on. What's going on in your lives?
Yeah, everything good. I have great parents. I love my parents. They raised me in church. I went to Sunday school, youth, and I had a great faith and a good relationship with God. And as I got older, I started relying on my own understanding about how life is and how life should be, and that doesn't work, right? I ran out of my own solutions.
Yeah.
And you know, you start trying to find joy through other means, alcohol, pot, things like that, and you just kind of, you're left empty because they don't fulfill that.
That's
right?
True.
They don't do anything. But when one day I was sitting and I could feel my mother praying for me and fasting for me without question, and the Lord said, "That's enough." And my son came to me and said, "Dad, would you come see me on Kids on the Move? We're going to be singing on the stage." And of course, my father taught me in a way that you don't say no when your kids ask you to go to things. And so we went, and we came. I came to church, Charleston Church. We sat up in the balcony, and my guard was up, right? I've been to church before, and you were dressed up in your armor as always. And I can't even remember who was preaching, what was being said. But I remember I was fidgeting around in my seat. I was caught in between the balcony and the main floor on the stairway. And I was just dropped with emotion. And I told the Lord, "I'm listening." And right from that moment on, our life changed dramatically.
Wow.
That was April 1st, Easter Sunday. And ever since then, there's no drinking, there's no drugs. I dropped cussing. I used to be a great cusser. No more of that.
Wow.
Our family is stronger.
Yeah.
Our bonds are stronger. And our relationship with the Lord is building into something that we're just amazed every day. We're excited to be here. We're just so excited to be here. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Amanda? He said it all.
He said it all. All right. I understand. I understand. Come on. Let's thank God for what he's doing. What a precious couple. Just we're special. All right, Tim. Let me start right here, man, if you want to stand over there. Thank God. Thank God. And that boy of yours, Ben, if you haven't met Ben, you will. He's a little preacher man. And he's probably out at Kids on the Move today. But no, where is he? Hey, everybody, turn around. Look at Ben. Look at Ben up there. He's got his tie on. He's ready to preach in case somebody needs him. That's awesome. That's awesome. Aren't you glad God can touch a whole family? Who knows? Who knows what God's going to do in this family? Tim, because the old life has passed away, you walk in a fresh and a new relationship with Christ, and you want everybody to know it. I now baptize you. Praise God. Wonderful. Best decision you could ever make is give your children a godly mom. And because you want everybody else to know that your children have a new mom with a new heart, with a brand new future, and you're not ashamed of it, I now baptize you. Come on, let's thank God. He's so faithful. He's so good. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Say this with me if you would. I feel the presence of the Lord here today. Don't you? God is in this meeting. God is good. I'm going to say it again. I said, God is good. Know what your perception of him was before you came in, but I hope if it wasn't that, it changes and you walk out saying, God is good. Amen. Let's praise him for a minute. This, and you don't know maybe how to do that. You just open your mouth and begin to tell God how much you appreciate him. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. We praise you today. We bless your name. We want you to know we're a grateful people today. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Were the word at the to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without Jesus, you brought heaven. Your love was greater. What can separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is.
The name.
The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares.
Nothing can stand against.
compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Sing.
You have no rival.
Hallelujah.
You have no equal.
That's powerful right there.
Now and forever.
Come on, church, just begin to declare.
God,
yours is the kingdom and the power.
Because yours is the kingdom.
Yours is the glory.
Yours is the name above.
Because he's mighty today. What a power.
What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is.
I know nothing can stand against.
What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Come on, just declare one more time.
What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Come on, give God a mighty, mighty praise. A mighty eruption of praise in this house. He's a powerful, mighty God. Come on, lift your voice and shout to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You come here today and you may not know Jesus, but I'm here to tell you that when you come into Jesus' family, become part of his house, you have no rival. There is nothing that can stand against Jesus. There's a lot that can stand against you, but when you're connected to Christ, there's nothing that can stand against you. Because when you're with him, you're with the greatest being in the universe, and nothing comes close. You're not here by accident. You're here because God wants to get a hold of you today. How many church members would say, God got a hold of me once, and I know this is true? Come on, just begin to testify. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are big and powerful in 2018, just like you were every other year this world has ever existed. I thank you that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for lives to be changed. I thank you that people are going to be different when they leave this service. We already feel the anointing of God. We already have heard testimonies of how you change. And God, we're excited to where you're going to take us from here. I pray that you'll be blessed by your praise, blessed by the word, God, blessed by the altar. And we'll just have an incredible time in your presence. Touch everybody here who's open to your move in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody give a big shout amen today. High five somebody and say, God is good, and you can have a seat tonight, today. Go back. Hallelujah. No, that's not what I wanted. Praise the Lord. Well, it's great to see everybody here today. Isn't the Lord good? You know, there's some services where you just feel like you're pushing. Some services you feel like you're just being pulled. And today is one of those ones. It's just like you're going with it. Okay, I'm coming. I mean, it's just like... bam! It's just right there. Get on board of this. If you're not there, just get on board because God's going to touch your life. Service is only going to get better from here on out. Unfortunately, I do have to do announcements. But they're anointed too. Don't forget. Before I do announcements, though, I want to thank everybody for coming. We've got a lot of visitors here. Church, can you let our visitors know that they're welcome? So great. So great. If you are a visitor, in just a few moments, the ushers are going to be taking up an offering. And in front of you, in the seat in front of you, if you're in the front row, it's right behind you. But there's a connection card. It looks just like that on the screen. We would love for you to fill that out and put it in the offering so we can just get in touch with you this week, see if there's anything we can pray for you, find out how you like the service. That's it. We just want to connect with you. And if you're online, we'd love for you to drop us an email. Thank you for joining us. And if you've never been to our church, we invite you to come. Because it's the best place on Sunday in anywhere. Let's just be real. It's anywhere. Also, for those of you who've been coming to our church and you just want to get plugged in more, there's another card in front of you called Next Steps. Fill that out and someone will be in touch with you this week as soon as we get the cards to get you plugged into our Next Steps
program to get you guys volunteering and being part of what God is doing. Coming to church is great. Being plugged into church is even better. You know, when you come to church and you're in going to church, God is good and you'll feel it. It's amazing. But when you start volunteering and pouring out your talents and abilities, you'll discover things you never thought you could do. And it'll be great. So I encourage everybody that wants to be involved to fill one of those out. We got a few things coming up on this Saturday, August 25th at Tim Helsenheimer's house. Why don't you stand up, Tim? There, oh, he doesn't like that. Everybody wave to Tim. At Tim's house. There's an Elevate cookout. I've been to it. It's great. If you are a young adult, I'll just leave it at that. If you're a young adult, we don't want to say who's young and who's not, right? But if you are a young adult in the Elevate crew, that is for you. It's an amazing time. They do so much stuff. Anthony Nealon is overseeing it. You can stand too. I like getting people to stand today. I just feel it. Stand up, Anthony. There he is. So if you have any questions but this Saturday at 2 p.m. at Tim Elsenheimer's house, please see Anthony Nealon. He'll give you all the information you need. How many like seeing all of these backpacks on our stage? Isn't that amazing? Woo! That's you. That's not us. That's you. You came and you brought backpacks a couple weeks ago for Empowering Education. What that is, for those of you who don't know, is we get school supplies for area schools that are in need, which is every school, because that's just the way it is. People don't have what they need. And we bring all kinds of school supplies in so the church can hand it to the schools and the schools know that God loves them still. Amen? And this week coming, this week I believe was notebooks and binders, but next week it's pencils and pens. So if you guys could go to Walmart, and Staples, and all those places, just buy them out. Don't let anybody else buy one. We don't want any, no, just get everything you can, bring it in. Let's just have like a pile. If we build a pile of pens and pencils this high, I will jump in it. I was crossing my fingers. I'm just kidding. But I will. I mean, why not? We'll see what happens. We would love for it to come. So next week, bring pens and pencils. And I believe out in the foyer, there's some big red buckets you can bring it in. It's amazing. You think just a packet of pens and a packet of pencils doesn't really mean much. I'm telling you what, to a kid that can't write anything and take notes and study, to a teacher that has a child that doesn't have what they need, it means the world. So what you do is important. Make sure you do that. And finally, on September 2nd, which is the day before Labor Day, we will be having our back-to-school prayer. Every year we have a ring of students from all the way from preschool all the way up to college. And also we pray for people who are involved in schools. But we pray for them as a staff and as a church. It's unbelievable. So we'd ask that you would invite anybody that you know that's going to school or works in school. We would love to pray for them that day. They will be blessed by it. I mean, it's an incredible time. And following the service, we have our back-to-school bash where we're going to have a bag lunch out there. Awesome sandwiches and drinks, and then we're going to have a bounce house and a rock wall and just a great time together as a church family. I think we all like those things. I don't like the rock wall too much, but my daughter goes up in like 20 seconds, so she's awesome and I'm not. That's how it is. So we want to make sure you guys make plans to come, and let's just have a great time inviting friends, inviting people who are involved in school so we can honor them, pray for them, and have a great time together. Amen? Amen. Is there service that night? No, there's no service on Sunday night, September 2nd for 5 p.m., so the evening will be free. So let's all come and enjoy ourselves there, right? Sounds good? Sounds great. Ushers, why don't you come on down and get ready to take up today's tithes and offering. You know, baptism today was pretty cool, hearing people talk and hearing people share testimonies. As soon as you're ready, just come on down. I remember listening to many testimonies of baptism, and a lot of times when people start talking about getting into tithing to the Lord, they're afraid at first. They're nervous because they don't see how it's going to work up in the bottom line. Well, there's already so much going out. How can I give God what I don't have? And they say the Lord really spoke to them, and they did it, and they worked things around. And you know what happens all the time? There's more in 90%. When you give God 10, then there isn't 100. Because God takes care of his people. God takes care of his people. And I encourage you, if you're not a tither, seek the Lord and pray. You'll find that it's his will for you. It's his will for every believer to be a tither. But he will not just take your money and let you rot. He'll bless you. He'll bless your business. He'll bless your family. It'll transform your life. I guarantee it. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, as we give to the Lord today, whether it's in-house here or online, God, I pray that your hand will be upon your church. Father, you show them that you take care of you clothe the lilies, God, the Bible says, with such incredible colors and arrayment. Father, you take so much more care of your people. And if we'll just tap into your glory as tithing and offerings and giving to the kingdom of God, we know, Lord, that you are faithful to take care of us. So I pray you'll bless everybody here today as they give. And Lord, give us an awesome time in the presence of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Be blessed as you give today.
Here, as we wait, seek your face. Come and make your throne upon our praise. Here, we're undone, overcome by heaven's love revealed before our eyes. Show us your glory, show us your glory. In wonder and surrender we fall down. Show us your glory, show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy ground. Chains fall, fear bow. Here now, Jesus, you change everything. Lies healed, hope found. Here now, Jesus, you change everything. Chains fall, fear bows. Here now, Jesus, you change everything. Lies healed, hope found. Here now, Jesus, you change everything. For fear bows. Here now, Jesus, you change everything. Lies healed, hope found. Here, morning, let's sing this together. Fall, fear, bow, here now. Jesus, you change everything. Lies here, hope found, here now. Jesus, you change everything.
Something that needs to be changed maybe in your life. You can think of one thing that maybe needs a little changing. Raise your hand. Let's, one thing. Today's your day. Today's your day. Today's your day. Amen? Amen. I'm preaching today. So somebody texted me this morning and said, so will Pastor be doing announcements today? So next week, I was trying to think maybe a funny story I could tell about him just for the fun of it. Maybe when the squirrel got caught on his face but I'm gonna stay away from all of those this morning. I'm just gonna get to it. Don't tempt me now, honey. Because, like, it was, like, hanging, and he's shaking, and it was on this side. And it was just shaking, and the squirrel, and the blood, and it's another story, another message, but it was a good one. And I always do feel, like, victory when I tell those stories, so maybe I should go for it. No. I have another question I want to ask you. Before you're seated, how many would just say, okay, Darcy, I'm going to be real honest in this message today. Like, I'm going to be, no? One. Hallelujah. Well, this should be a very interested message. I'm going to ask a question at the beginning, and you'll know later maybe why it has to do with my message, but growing up, what was very important to my father, one of the many, many things. And I understand this now that I have daughters, but you never run out of gas. Like in your car. Sorry. Like I just saw all your faces. Sorry. Like you never run out of gas. There's no reason that you ever should run out of gas, right? Because there's a gauge. And you watch that gauge. Okay, but how many... like, seriously, have ran out of gas? Raise your hand. No, like, really? No, hold it up there. Okay, everybody that hasn't, sit down. But if you have, I want you to stay standing. Stay standing for a second. If you, oh my goodness. No, some of you are sitting. If you run out of gas, I want to see you. My father teaches Sunday school. You need to go hear his Sunday school class. You may be seated. Were you standing? Dad! Have you run out of gas? One time. Hypocrite! Never have I heard that story. Wow. Well, I never have ran out of gas until 2 years ago. Just to throw it out there, it wasn't good. And I was in a hurry, which makes sense, right? And that gauge is very true to what it says. When it says no more miles, it actually means you should just pull over. And thank God for my son-in-law. I called him, and I was supposed to get Micah's sneakers. He was playing a game, and I pretended on Route 15 that I was on a very important phone call as I was parked over on the side. People are riding by, and then when Rocky came, I leaned right over in the car like they didn't know that there was somebody ran out of gas when oh well. So it's very, very important when you are in need that you call the right people. It's very important. If I would have called my sister, I could have still been there today. Seriously. But I called my son-in-law because my husband was in a meeting, and I was a little bit embarrassed, so I thought, I'll never tell. But I ran out of gas 2 years ago on Route 15, just to let you know. So you need to call the right people. You need to call the right people. I'm going to preach today about building the wall. Now listen, this is not a political message, okay? If you want a political message, you got the wrong person. But I figured you would remember the title, Building a Wall, okay? In Nehemiah, he built a wall. And it is so important to build a spiritual wall. It is so important to build a spiritual wall. It's the most important thing I think you can do is build a spiritual wall. God helped Charleston Church to build some walls. Let us build walls and let us do what God has asked us to do and let us do it well. Amen? Amen. So I want to read with you today from Nehemiah 4, verse 14 and 15. Good thing I wrote it down, because I think I need a new prescription. That is like Nehemiah 4, verse 14 and 15. So it says, I wanted to read verse 7 first, and I don't have that down there. But it says, they heard the walls of Jerusalem were being restored, and the gaps were being closed. That's a good one. I like that one. Therefore, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall. At the openings, I set people according to their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. That means your enemies. Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. Fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. It says wife, sorry. We're New Testament church. We wife. Fight for your wife and fight for your house. I want to read that again. Fight for your brethren. That means everybody here. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for my son. I'm fighting for him. I'm going to fight for my two daughters. I'm going to fight for them. And I'm fighting for my husband, not my wife. My husband, and I'm fighting for my house. Some of you need to know right now that you need to do a little fighting. There's a little fight in you. And I'm afraid that we as Christians come in and we sit and we say, come on, what do you got for me today? I want you to know that I got some fight for you today. You need to fight a little bit today. You need to fight a little bit spiritually. God, give us a spiritual fight. There's a spiritual fight going on, and if you don't know it, God's coming, and I want to bring everybody to heaven. I'm bringing my family to heaven. Can you just say that? I'm bringing my family to heaven. Let me hear you say it. I'm bringing my family to heaven. And I want you to know I'm not only bringing my family, but I want to bring your family. It's so important to me that every row here, every person that you represent will be in heaven with me. It's important to me that I bring your family to heaven. There are many things that Nehemiah did. Nehemiah, wow. If I have another son, I'm going to name him Nehemiah. No, guess not. Maybe a grandson, who knows? I don't have any ability to name them. That's their choice. But I think maybe I'll have another one and we'll do a Nehemiah. Or maybe just a dog, I don't know, whatever. One of our college students from Spain, wave to me, yes. He told me that all of his, him and his sisters are all going away to college and going away, and which is very difficult on parents. So they got a dog and a bunny. So no bunny for me, but a dog maybe. Okay, sorry. That just, woo, Darcy, there she goes. Okay, stay focused, Darcy. Nehemiah was a man that saw a need. That's really what his story is that somebody told him about a need and he saw it. Help us to see the needs that are all around us. This is why we do school supplies. These aren't even all the backpacks. We couldn't fit them on the platform. We will fit them, but for today, I'm telling you, we have more. Why? Because we saw a need. God help Charleston Church to keep seeing needs. I don't ever want to just take care of my family. I want to take care of some needs that are around and that I see. Help us to be a church that sees needs and we do something about it. Nehemiah heard that the walls that were protecting God's people were down. They were burnt and they were broken, and the enemy could get in to destroy God's people. And if you read Nehemiah, it just moved him. Nehemiah had a great job. He worked for the king. He didn't need to take time off to go build a wall. But he heard about a need, and it moved him. And the first thing he did was he prayed about the need. I want to be a woman that sees needs, and I pray about them. He prayed. He said, God, they need walls. They need to be protected. They're your people. All that they've been through, they need protection. He just saw the need. There were other men living there that did not do anything about it. He wasn't even living there, but he saw the need and said, I'm going to build a wall. He prayed about it. And then he made a plan. God, give us a plan. Give us a plan. I love that he went to the king and told the king, this is what's going on. I need to help them. And he made a plan. And then he went to the walls, and he went at night, which you'd think he'd kind of go in day. You can see more, right? But it was a spiritual thing, I think. He walked around those walls, and he began to look and saw, look at that need. Look at that need. Oh, God, protect these people. Look at this need. And all of a sudden, God gave him a plan how to do it. You know, it's good to see a need, but if you don't know how to take care of it, it's not really that good, is it? You need a plan. And I just want you to know, maybe you're sitting there and you say, it's good that you can say that there's a plan. I'm telling you, if you have a need, God can give you a plan how to take care of it. He saw the need. He prayed about the need. He planned the need, and then he prepared. He prepared. He got the right people to build the wall with him. It's important to have the right people. It's important to bring the right people around you to help you do what God's told you to do. He brought some people that had victory that knew that he could do it. Amen? How many want to do what God wants you to do? You want to do what God wants you to do. He got the right people. And then I love that he was persistent. God, give us a church of persistent people. That when the enemy came to him and came while they were building the wall to defeat them, he stood up and said, no, we're building this wall. God said we're building this wall. We're going to protect God's people. You can't defeat me. God is with me. Just wanted to remind a few of you today that God's with you. God is with you. You are trying to build the walls yourself to protect everybody around you. And God says, why don't you try to do it my way? My way, it works so much better. You need to be persistent. You need to keep fighting. You need to stay in it. Amen? And I think one of my favorite things that he did was he protected the next generation. He protected them. Those little children, I had a whole row of your children this morning. I forgot how exciting it was to sit with like kids. They're dancing, they're waving, they're twirling, and I thought, all of you people, you need a little bit of this. I mean, a little. I mean, you know what? They were excited. They had their little hands raised. I said, amen, and she hollers out, amen! wasn't the right time, but it was the right word. If I came to Rob's house, I won't. But if I came to your house, probably you wouldn't be very afraid of me, but let's say, I don't know, some person came to your house to hurt one of your children. Let me tell you, Rob, I'm sure is packing. No, not today, but just pretend with me. Because there are many other people here that are, so don't worry about it. If I came to his house to hurt one of his children, let me tell you, he would take care of me. There would be like a kung fu, I don't know what that guy, that, what is that guy's name? What? Say it louder. Bruce Lee, thank you. I asked for a little help here, honey. I'm not gonna try to do the moves. Don't worry. Keep going. Dear Lord, like I asked a swear word or something. I know I have a dress on. I'm not going to do that. But at home, I'm going to all over the place just because I'm going to walk in the kitchen. Yeah! Sorry. Sorry. That was flash right there. Whoop! Just out the door. If I came to hurt one of his children, he'd protect them. God, help us to protect the next generation. I want to do everything I can for every one of those kids and kids on the move, that they will know God, that they'll serve him, and that they'll be full of the Spirit. Help us for Ignite, that they'll be full of the Spirit. Help Soulfire, Elevate. God, I'm going to do everything I can for the next generation. I'm going to do everything, everything to help the next generation. Everything, everything, every pastor and I for this church, just to let some of you know, really care about the next generation going to heaven. Some of you have had it all your lives and you're just stuck. But I'm telling you, shake it off a little and start building again. Shake it off and get your weapon and fight a little bit. Fight. Our kids need you to fight. I need you to live godly in your homes. I need you to do this. I need your children to know that God is not just for here, but he's for home. I need you to. There are things I'm not going to go into. I know some of you might be a little worried, but there are things we don't allow on our property. Just a heads up. You know why? Because that is God's property. It's not allowed in that property. Some of you got to remember that somebody's in your house watching, listening, knowing if daddy's praying, knowing if mommy's praying, knowing if grammy's praying, if grammy's speaking faith or not speaking faith. You don't have to wonder. I just want you to know it's evident. God, give us a church that is building walls. Give us a church that's building walls, that will do anything to protect the next generation. I'll do anything. I will do anything. I'll do anything to protect the next generation. You know, I was thinking of, I heard this story just recently, and I actually went back and tried to find it, and I found him preaching about it. A pastor of a church, and then he was an overseer of Church of God, and he has some children that are older than me. Sounds good to say that. But when I was young, I didn't have a cell phone in my vehicle because, look, I'm 29, and they didn't have them then. I'm sorry, I was tearing down the wall of lying right there. But his daughter was 14, and he had a 16-year-old, was babysitting with her friend that was 16. And when you used to do that, you didn't have a cell phone, you just went with a friend and then you'd come home. 14 and 16 in Alabama, they were heading home at 12:30 at night. And they ended up breaking down on the interstate, and it wasn't like Charleston. A man stopped and made them get in his vehicle. And as they got in the vehicle, the young girl said, "Daddy, it was like I felt a demon when I got in that vehicle. It was like the devil himself was in that vehicle." And as they're riding down the road, took them off the interstate and took them on a back street. As they did that last turn, the little 14-year-old that's a pastor's daughter, that thank God her parents built a wall for her. Every Sunday they brought her to church. Every Sunday. Every Sunday. Sunday morning, Sunday night, they brought her to church. She sat in the front row every week. Her parents, her whole life, put a wall in her. And now she's on a back road. And all of a sudden, that 14-year-old little tiny thing starts speaking in a heavenly language right out loud. And she starts just speaking in it, hollering it. And the man says, "What are you doing? Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. What are you doing? What is she doing?" And her friend said, "She is talking to God about you. And it is not going to be good for you." If you don't think that you can still protect, you can put it in your children and it's there. All of a sudden, she would not shut up. She just kept, you know, speaking in a heavenly language. Just to let you know, if you're not used to it, it is not weird. It's a connection between you and God. If you see me in Tradewinds, Whitney's, you will not hear me walking down the aisle speaking in tongues. It's not about being weird. It's about a connection to God. And that young girl, that 14-year-old girl, just screaming in the spirit. Give me some 14-year-old girls in this church that know the spirit of the Lord. Give me some 70-year-old women who know the power and speak in it. And as she's screaming and talking in tongues, and that man pulled over and said, "Get out of my vehicle." Can I tell you, you need to put the Holy Spirit, and you need to do all you can for the next generation. I want them to be so used to the Spirit that they know it. I don't know what service that young girl got filled, but I know that she was at church and got filled. That's so good. Like kung fu right there. That's so good. Make us strong. Make us strong in the spirit. Give us some people that will build a wall no matter what's going on. They're still going to build. They're still going to build. You have adversity. You're still going to build. You're having issues. You're still going to build. I was thinking as Emmy got baptized this morning, I was thinking of the day I came over because they adopted sweet Emmy. And when did you get her? 4 months old. And at how old were they going to take her? She was 2 years old. And they said all the Emmy knew was Mark and Stacy. All she knew was a Christian home. All she knew is prayers. All she knew was the walls would protect her. And then all of a sudden they said, we're going to take her back and put her back in a place that was not a good place. And I remembered as she was up there today of going in and laying my hands and praying over her, that somehow God would block that and there would be protection over her. And I thought today, look at that girl. I mean, her parents stood and kept building even when it didn't seem like it was going to be good. They kept building and they kept bringing their daughter to church. They kept praying and fasting. Why? Because there was an enemy. But yet, God protected. God let you know today that God will protect what you give to him. And maybe it's like a horrible situation, but why don't you ask God how to rebuild it? If it's broken, why don't you ask God how to build it? There's been times when things have been broken in our home. And you know what we did? We prayed and we built. There's been times our daughter testified about had such anxiety, and now she's our children's pastor. We kept building no matter what it looked like. We kept coming to church and raising our hands and saying, God, you're a God of miracles. And you know what? God just continued to show us how to build the wall to protect. God, give us people that will protect. Give us people that will protect. It's Paul and Heather, if you want to come. The enemy wants to destroy you, but Jesus wants to build you. The enemy wants to give you sickness. Jesus wants to heal you. The enemy wants you to be defeated. Jesus will give you victory. Enemy wants you to be in darkness. Jesus is the light, which no darkness can be. The enemy wants to bind you, but Jesus can set you free. The enemy wants you broken, but Jesus can make you whole. No matter what, just keep building. Just keep building. Just keep building. Just keep building. It took him 52 days to build this wall, which is a complete miracle. Let me just tell you how big this wall was. It was 2.5 miles. It was 39 feet high. The walls were 8.2 feet deep. He built a wall. He built a wall. I pray Charleston Church will build a wall. In the spirit, we'll build the wall. If your house is broken today, I just ask you to just take one brick at a time and just build. Just keep building. Get the right people to connect with you. Give us some Nehemiahs that will be godly. Give us some Nehemiahs that will see a need and take care of it. Give us some Nehemiahs that will change the next generation. One of my favorite parts of the story is that, and let me get the verse for you. It's better with the verse. The Bible writes it so much better than me. Now, therefore, our God is great and mighty. He keeps his covenant and mercy. Just remember, God knows where you're at, and he'll help you. As they were preparing the walls, they had different people stand in different areas to guard. And when, Tim, if it was you standing right here, if you saw the enemy coming, because 2.5 miles, they can't hear your holler. So what they would do is they would have somebody there and they'd play the trumpet. The trumpet means a lot of different things in the Bible, so I'm just going to, some of you old timers will know what the trumpet, there's so many things, but the trumpet would be played, and that would tell everybody the enemy's coming. Come help, protect. Give us some trumpet players. Give us some trumpet players. If I had a trumpet right here, I would just go for it. Give us some, can you play, can you pretend? No, no, no. Paul could, he can make any sound in the whole world. It's very scary. Give us some trumpet players that when they see the enemy coming for a family, they begin to go,
to warm up.
They actually play better than that. But they actually play the trumpet and other people from the family come over there and help them fight. Give us some trumpet players. When you're struggling, somebody's going to say they're struggling and whoop! All of your friends, all of your churches around you believing for victory for you. Believing for victory for you. Believing for victory for you. I had such a burden this week for Tim and Lindsay. Such a burden for them. He's away in the military, and he has been away for how long, honey? Since May. And when does he come home? January. And I woke up speaking in tongues over them. I woke up in the morning. I wasn't thinking about Tim and Lindsay when I went to bed. I'll be real honest. But the trumpet said, pray for Tim and Lindsay. And I inboxed Tim and Lindsay and said, we're praying for you. You got this. God's with you. He's for you. That's what a family does. They see a need and they just believe that God's going to see them through it. God's going to see them through it. Will you all stand and nobody leave, please? I have a different altar call that I felt to do this morning. Who here would say, I'm going to build the wall. I'm going to build the wall. I'm going to protect. I'm going to pray. I'm going to plan. I'm going to be persistent. And I'm going to protect the next generation. I just want you to come and I want us to pray as a church. This is the most important time. Please do not leave. Just come down to this altar and I want to pray over our builders this morning. I want to pray over our builders this morning. I want to pray over what you're going to build. I want to pray over you that what you're going to build, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Why don't you go ahead and sing something, Heather, while they're coming. Come on, balcony. Come on down.
Oh, I will rejoice and be glad. So I will rejoice.
Closer so we can fit everybody in this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I will rejoice.
Hallelujah.
I will rejoice.
Hallelujah.
Be glad.
I'm going to build. I'm going to be a builder.
I will rejoice. I will rejoice. And be glad.
That's you, Jamie. That's you with grabbing your heart. You know, I was thinking as I was preaching, there's a lot of different needs here. Jamie's a single mom, and sometimes I think she feels like she's building by herself. But I want you, the Lord just told me to tell you to look around. because you're not building yourself. Look, look over there. You're not building yourself. You got a family that's building with you. If you have a need, blow your trumpet or text me. Because we're going to build it with you. We're going to build it with her. We're going to build it with her. There is no single parents here. I just want you to know you got a few people ahead of you, and you got a few people beside you, and you got a few people behind you. We're about to change. Thank you, honey. We're about to change how we do it a little bit. I just want you to know. When Pastor said a few weeks ago, I pray that everything inside of me about church, that I've been in church so long that I only think like a church person. God, help us not to do that. Help us to walk around and sit with people that aren't Christians. How can the light be light in darkness if we're not showing up to dark? I'm not telling you to go. Be careful. That's not this church, okay? But I'm telling you, I want to reach out to people that are struggling. I want to reach out to them. I want to show them the light. This morning, Michaels, where are you? I saw you this morning. You know, years ago, come stand up with me. Years ago at a game, his wife, I've been trying to witness to his wife. And she said, go ask him if he'll come to church. I'm like, dear God. And I walked up and he's sitting on the bleachers at Corinth ball field. And I said, I'm Darcy. Didn't have the pastor look because he didn't know me as a pastor. He only knew me as another person's mom. And I asked him. And do you know what he said to me? Do you remember? Dear Jesus, it wasn't good.
It had to be maybe sometime.
No, it wasn't that, David. He said, I will never be in your church. Thank you for asking with a very nice smile. But I will not be at your church. Did you see him opening the door for you this morning? And I believe that David will open the door for many people to come in here. Not just people that are here, but many people in Corinth. Many people in Bangor, you're going to open the door and say, come with me, and they're coming to know Jesus. I want everybody here that says, I'm going to build. I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to be a builder. I want you to keep your hand raised. I want to pray over all of you that you'll be a builder. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you help us to be builders. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll make us people of prayer. I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll give them a plan. Give them a plan to be a builder. Help them to build. I pray that these will be the most persistent, strong, powerful men and women of God. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we will always, always, always protect the next generation. That we will build. That we will build. Help us to be builders only. Help us to be builders only. Let us never tear down people. Let us us never, never let this church be known as a building church, but not a tearing down church. Lord, let us rebuild the spiritual walls in our homes. Let us rebuild the spiritual walls at work. I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray for the families here that maybe are struggling. I pray in the name of Jesus that after today, they'll know that people are praying with them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, will you just pray for the person next to you? Will you ask God to make them a builder? Will you just put your hand on the next person beside you? I pray that they'll be builders. Just pray for them. Hallelujah. 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 Let them be builders. Hallelujah. Help them. Help them in the name of Jesus. Let us be builders. Let us be builders in the name of Jesus. Let this be a church of builders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us be strong and powerful, walking in the Spirit. Have no fear. Let us just know that God's with us, that He's for us, that we're the head and not the tail. We walk with God's favor. Hallelujah. That our feet are anointed. That we walk wherever we go, that we walk with God. When we enter a room, He's with us. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I felt so strong to just have you all come down today. But if you just bow your head and close your eyes, I wouldn't want to leave if there's somebody here that hasn't done that first wall of asking God to come in into your life and just taking control and just giving it to Jesus. Maybe there's somebody here that you say, I want to ask Jesus to come into my life and help me. Would you just raise your hand? I will not embarrass you. You can pray right where you're at. It's not really about bringing you up. It's about you asking Jesus into your heart today. Is there anybody here that has never done that, that wants to do that today? It's about eternity. Is there anybody? Anybody here that just says, I want to give my life to Jesus today? I've tried to do it on my own and I just can't. Okay. If there's anybody here that can, maybe you could just raise your hand and you say, I need some rebuilding. I need a little help. I'm struggling in different ways. Will you just raise your hand? I have some things that I'm struggling with. I'm struggling in a few areas and I want to rebuild. Okay, we're just going to pray for you. If you see a hand, will you just put your hand on them? If a hand is raised, will you just look around now? Church family, the trumpet has been sounded. Yes, I'm looking. Let's just pray for them. In the name of Jesus, we pray, God, for the people here that are struggling. They're going through some different things. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that you help them. Let them know that they're not alone. That they're not alone, that you're going to help them. I pray in the name of Jesus, if their wall is broken, that let them know they can rebuild it. In the name of Jesus. Let them know that you're with them. I pray in the name of Jesus. We pray for this family. We know that their grandfather is heading to home unless you intervene. I pray in the name of Jesus that you be with them. You let them know, God, that you're our comforter, you're our strength, and you're our healer. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you give them strength today. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. I just wanted to say, I'll see you tonight, builders. I'll see you tonight, builders. Build this week. Build, build, build. In Jesus' name.